Someone recently said, "I never dreamed that I'd be giving up so much for Lent." Isn't that the truth? We're living in unprecedented times. Not since the so-called Spanish flu of 1918 has the world seen such a pandemic, and never before have we responded so completely together to a shared threat. Well, let's consider what indeed we have given up this Lent. And most of this, not really by choice. We've given up our freedom to travel and move about. Our borders are closed to all but those returning home, those who work in vital areas, and the trade of needed goods. We've been asked to stay home, unless we need to go out for food and supplies, or perhaps for some solitary exercise. And there aren't many places to go anyway. Most places are closed. Many of us have given going out even to work. Many of our workplaces are closed so that people are either working from home or not working at all. Some people are losing their livelihoods. The worldwide economy is suffering. Many who have invested money are losing their savings. We've given up even gathering for worship. There's no celebration of the Eucharist. There's no gathering of the body of Christ except in those new places that we are inventing online or through good old-fashioned telephone calls. If you're hearing this sermon, you've accessed it through somewhat new technology for which, at this time, we're especially grateful. I don't know about you, though. I've been a little surprised by just how difficult it is to give things up, especially when I don't have much choice in the matter. The kind of widespread hoarding that we've seen doesn't entirely surprise me. I can understand the impulse. After all, when we find ourselves being forced to give up so much, it seems to be human nature that we might fear that there won't be enough. A friend told me about a recent trip to the grocery store. The shelves were definitely not fully stocked. As she passed along, she saw the last lonely jar of peanut butter on the shelf. Now, she didn't actually need peanut butter. She had a full jar at home. But that last jar on the shelf seemed to call out, "There won't be enough." It was, after all, the last jar. So she bought it. And she regretted doing so. But I was so glad she told me the story, because I understand that impulse. I recognize in it my own fear, a fear that there won't be enough. At a time when it feels like so many things are being stripped away, it's easy to become fearful. And so I am grateful. Very grateful that in this time when the temptation to fear comes our way, the psalm appointed for this Sunday in Lent is none other than what will be an old familiar friend to many. Here's what I'm imagining. You're at home in isolation. You're hunkered down, either by yourself or with your closest loved ones. You're feeling isolated. And one thing you might really appreciate at this time is a visit from an old dear friend. Well, this is the knock on the door. And the friend comes in, sits down, and leads us in a familiar refrain. With our friend, we find these words on our lips. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." There are so many comforting words in this familiar passage. No need to fear evil as we walk through the darkest valley, because God is there with us, and the signs of God's presence, the rod and the staff, they are a comfort. This old friend also brings us words of encouragement that helps us to look forward to a meal that is prepared where we will feast, not only with friends, but even enemies. God is bringing us a better future, one where all things are redeemed, where all people flourish. The vision is not one of scarcity, but of abundance, so that we say, "My cup overflows." Our old friend reminds us that God's restoring work will lead us in right paths. If we've gone astray, God finds us and leads us to a better, safer, healthier place. Again, a place of abundance pictured as a green pasture. In the midst of the anxiety and fear we find ourselves in today, our friend teaches us to say, "I shall not want. I shall not want." I want to hold on to that promise today, and I particularly want to offer it up to you in these times. As we seem to be called to give up so much, and so much seems to be stripped away, even beyond our need and desire to control, we've got this promise: "I shall not want." Now, that would be an awesome promise to claim in normal times in our society, where we experience the constant stoking of our desires for things. We've often imagined that this promise assures us that we'll be free of deprivation, free from hunger, free from homelessness, the idea that our basic human needs will be provided for. But I suspect that our old friend could be reminding us in this season that we also have a promise that we can be set free from the condition of wanting stuff. It doesn't much matter what that actual stuff might be. We just want it, and we want more of it. But let your old friend remind you today that the Lord is your shepherd, and because of that fact, you will not want. You need not suffer in the state of discontented wanting. You need not allow your relationships to suffer because of what envy and desire will conjure up. I don't know about you, but I find this to be a tremendous relief. Please pray with me. Teach us, our shepherd, to welcome your presence and leading during this time of anxiety. Teach us to move beyond our selfish desires and want, and lead us to green pastures and still waters. Inspire us with your vision for human flourishing and for your abundance shared by all humanity. Open our hearts and hands in generosity. Loving God, whose peace passes all our understanding, as we face this present pandemic and experience fear and anxiety, may we hear your voice bringing calm to the storms of our time. Strengthen those who work to limit the spread of infection and those who seek to care for the sick, and keep us mindful of those most vulnerable. May we shape our living to protect one another, and may our changing habits, practices, and sacrifices be for the greater love of our community and all your people. Amen. Let me also offer up this prayer from one of my favorite theologians, Stanley Harvas, who I believe this is just a beautiful prayer for the Lenten season. Awesome Lord, you will forgive us if we prefer you just a bit more familiar. We are sure that you do not mean to frighten us, but distance and difference can be unsettling to us. We love the Grand Canyon, but we prefer not to get too close to the rim. Come to us, but be less dramatic. We have all the drama we can stand just getting through the day. So come to us this and every day, crucified. We stand speechless before the majesty of your cross, frightened yet attracted. How unexpected to learn the awesome distance between you and us by your nearness. Amen. Well, friends, sisters, and brothers, I pray every blessing upon you this day. Please follow the advice that we are being given by the health officials. Stay home if you can. Practice the 2-meter rule. Wash your hands frequently. Stay safe. Remember your neighbors, especially those most vulnerable. Please check the parish website to find the resources that we're offering there. It's being updated almost daily. You'll also find resources on the diocesan website at niagaraanglican.ca. Remember, Niagara Anglican is one word. And now, may the Holy Trinity defend you on every side, guide and direct you into the ways of truth and peace. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit bless you now and remain with you always. Amen.